From Puebla, it's Austin, Texas. This is Stacker News Live!
Austin Hill Country. Or no, Texas Hill Country. Okay. Rentals.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another exciting episode of Stacker News Live. My name's Carr. I'm the BFF Keel and Blip Bullet.
Hello. I'm the man he just described as Keon.
What's good?
How was
your week?
It was really good. I came back to work after being very far away, just the whole 30-minute drive outside of Austin. It's the farthest I've been away, probably.
Hang on a second. Did you just take like an Uber up there?
No.
Or you drove
away? No, we drove.
Ah, okay.
Me and my espouse.
Did it feel weird? Texas, Austin, Texas?
No. Not really. It felt great, actually. It was like really quiet, which I haven't had in a while. I didn't realize I haven't had in a while. Also got to see the sunset, which I probably haven't seen in probably like years, which was really nice. It's pretty. And I went in a hot tub. You imagine that? I was hot in water.
Have I been in a hot tub with you before?
Huh?
Have I been in a hot tub with you before?
Oh, you know, we will be. Yeah.
Have you never been in a hot tub with a bunch of Bitcoiners before? That's a thing.
Oh, hot tub Bitcoin.
Have you never been in a
mining machine?
Hot tub with a bunch of Bitcoiners?
No, I haven't, but yeah, I don't. That is one stew I do not want served.
Oh, man. Stories I could tell.
Wow, how was your week without me?
Oh, dude, I was sick, man.
Yeah, you're still sick.
Last week, though, when you were gone, definitely could feel the absence of Coop.
Yeah,
it was like Key.
Yeah,
that's right.
Like the air.
It was kind of the first. Sure. It was like the first week after Super left, where I was like, "Soup," and then I realized he's just not here. And then after about the fifth day, I got used to it. I was like, "Okay."
Yeah, it's like, oh, it's kind of nice. There's no anxious air.
No, and then we all just started using your office as a extra office.
That's what I saw. Someone accosted Sammy. I saw that.
Oh, I didn't.
Someone put Sammy's arms were crossed, and now he has one hand on his heart.
She was in there a while.
No, I literally sat on the couch one time, and then I promptly left because there was no anxious energy, and I was like, this is off.
But okay, it was used as the extra room to take calls. It was great.
Oh, I didn't realize it was used as a guest room. I should have charged rent. I should put a lightning invoice on that bad boy.
It was great. But yeah, it's been just cold, dude. I think everybody's getting sick.
Oh.
Because you were sick.
I was sick for a month.
You haven't sick yet.
Jan is not sick.
I'm so healthy.
Nick was sick. Oh, yeah. Austin and Ewan are, like the healthiest people. But you guys aren't sick.
Yeah.
Ted was sick.
Oh, was he?
Yeah.
But we have enjoyed pretty nice weather. After, like, the bad weather, now we got the sun out. It's been, like, 70 some days.
No, today it's beautiful out.
Yep.
I haven't been outside nearly all day, but for people that are outside, their life is great.
Yeah. Cool. Well, I guess we're caught up there. Wow. Oh, wait. Did you watch Stacker News Live last week?
I just wanted to see what you guys look like.
But you didn't actually stay and watch?
I didn't watch it. I was trying to check out Stackers, as much as possible.
Seems like the Stackers said it was okay.
No, that's what
I think we only got one complaint. Somebody said my story was in the top five, and I was like, I don't know.
Oh, no.
It was a meta. It was by Fiat Revelation. They wrote a meta post. They're like, Stacker News is awesome.
The Stackers didn't attack Ted. I was kind of surprised. I thought they were going to full on attack him.
But as you said, he was prepared. That's Ted's superpower.
So this would go back to normal Stackers. We are not prepared, as usual.
Get ready for the human slop. They say AI slop, but we serve the old fashioned human slop.
If you've never seen this crazy show before, check it out on YouTube. I know some of y'all hate YouTube, which makes sense. I hate it sometimes. But there's a show called Stacker News Live. And, you can click on it. There's clips that Wumbo makes.
Shout out to Wumbo.
Look, he's made some really funny ones. his Valley from Valley's Camp. He has like that guy there. There's some really good ones. There is one where I saw.
I love it.
Or behind the paywall, he did this one. And then he goes, where's the beef? When he does a solo block mine.
I'm glad
he's like having time. Look, he, found, he even found one with Jameson.
He found the fun in
40
it.
Or something. So that was cool.
That's great.
Yeah, so he's making like these clips, and you guys should go in there, click on them. Also, we're on Spotify. I don't have the link for that, but they're in the show notes. Cool. If you've never seen this crazy show, we cover the top five stories on Stacker.news, the front page of Bitcoin. And this week, we're going to cover all those five plus a little bit more. And then maybe we'll get a pleb poet. Did you release a post this week?
No.
She's gonna
I talked about Craigslist a little bit.
But oh, right. She has
maybe we'll get a pleb poet comment on a
yeah,
post.
She's going to tell a poet at the end of the
I mean, episode, I feel like sure. When the pleb poet comes on, we get the most views.
I can recite a poem today if you'd like.
Yeah, we'll get to it.
There we go.
The first top story, or the fifth top story this week is tutorial BitAxe paired with your own datum gateway, knots on Start9 or Umbral. This is from BTC Sessions. Oh, man, dude. He's literally coming right for the top five, dude.
He's invaded our own podcast. See, we shot at the king and
seven
we missed.
Comments, 2,060 sats. He's coming for us, Coop. Look at this. Yeah, what is this?
Oh, yeah. So we're all most of us should be familiar with the BitAxe. It's like a hobby miner. A lot of people use it to lottery mine, solo mine. I call them more like hobby miners. People call them pleb miners. But right now they're about at a terahash. You can get a terahash out of one of these, which is pretty significant. Nick was telling me the other day about 1% of the network is using these. Like 1% of the hash power comes from these kinds of devices. Oh. I don't know where that comes from. But BT Sessions did a great nearly a 50-minute tutorial on setting one up with your own node, making your own block templates, which most miners do not do. So you will be a real miner, more of a real miner than many miners who connect to one of these pools, one of these proxy pools. But he takes you through the whole walkthrough with his Start9, using Bitcoin knots, which has some opinionated mempool policies, you know, not allowing things like ordinals and runes and other data into blocks. And you'll be forming your own block templates, filtering those things out. You know, you can adjust those yourself, too, if you want, in contrast to what maybe Bitcoin knots would want, or developers of Bitcoin knots would want, and mine Bitcoin with it, either in a pool where you get a share of whatever blocks the pool mines, or as a solo miner. But if you're familiar with Stratum V2, Datum is Ocean Mining's own protocol that they and software they developed to do the same thing that Stratum V2 does, which is decentralize block template choice.
Is it the one where they remove the ordinals or no?
Bitcoin knots does. So paired with Bitcoin knots, you're not going to be mining blocks with ordinals in them if you are the one that mines a block.
Blockchain Boog says, what is the benefit for doing this? Filippo Programmer says, you build your own block templates without relying on the pool, meaning you decide which transactions get mined.
And there's also a small chance that you get a little more work contributed to the pool because you're not waiting for the pool to send you jobs and block templates, which introduces some latency. It's not a whole lot, but you know, maybe it's a few, you know, some maybe a terahash is what the latency is, maybe a second if it's
I think these are taking off. We got a heat bit. They delivered us a heat bit.
It's on that.
And I don't know where the sets are going. Probably that guy over there.
Probably to Nick, yeah.
But anyways, I don't know. I think he said how many? 260 sats a day, Cam? From the heat bit.
Oh, 260, that's pretty good.
That's pretty good. That's a good post on Stacker News.
Yeah, we have We Are All Satoshi as a bot that reports his earnings from his own hobby miner, his own pleb miner, and in the saloon every day. And I think he makes, 100 sats or so every day.
Pleb poet, would you ever get into mining something like this?
Probably not, but I am curious if BTC Sessions has posted, what other posts has he made on Stacker News.
Oh, he usually posts his tutorials.
Okay.
Yeah.
He's sharing links, though, right?
Yeah, he shares his links.
I think he's done an AMA before.
I think he has, too.
Yeah, I think he's done an AMA.
He's also, like, you know, competing with us with the top segment in Bitcoin.
Yeah.
Every week.
I mean, let's be fair. It's an unfair competition. I mean,
this making the top five, figuratively.
You bit axe him.
Oh. Yeah, we axe him with bets.
I mean, you know, all's fair in the streaming game, you know? So, still the most popular segment.
Cool.
Not top five worthy, apparently. No one has clipped the Cowboy segment and made it a top five post.
Oh, it's because it's meta. We wouldn't even talk about it.
What if, do you want to get a hair tip like that? Should we go blunt?
He has a good look.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
You know, it's memorable. Sessions. Original, you can
should
spot
we go
it.
Blonde tips?
I don't know. You have a tip.
Yeah, it's you not
should.
Blonde, though.
You should.
It's gray.
You should.
Old and gray.
Oh, you should gray it.
Should we go gray? You go gray. But your tip, and I go.
Actually,
gray.
We don't got to do it together. We're already taking hot tubs
Carr's
together.
Carr's beard is brown, but his hair is black.
Oh,
that's interesting.
The Spanish blood.
Oh,
that's really cool, man.
Do you dye your hair? No?
No, it's just the way it is, natural.
That's interesting.
What was I going to say? Hey, we're swinging this topic. Great tips, Keon? What do you think?
Oh, yeah, do it, Carr.
You go first.
I'm okay. Because then I'd end up looking, because Loft has that, and I'd be like.
People think you're copying Loft.
Yeah. Which I don't want to do. He's like in like that Mensa group.
Well, congrats to BC Sessions getting in the top five this week. The Stackers only gave him 2,000 sats. Come on, Stackers.
Zapping is slowing down. People want to hang on to their sats.
Even the price is going down?
I don't know. That's true. I don't think it's registered yet psychologically in how poor we all are yet. Mm. I think we're all still living the dream.
Currency?
I'm pretty poor.
All right.
Well, you've always been poor.
I've always been poor.
I met somebody today who told me that they had 3 jobs.
Really?
Yeah.
What do they do? What do they do with
this? I don't want to dox them, but.
Will it dox them?
The 3 jobs was like, wow. I thought I had it bad with 1 job. You have 3 jobs.
Well, a founder has like 10 jobs, let's be
sure.
Real, dude.
But
it's all for one employer.
3 jobs, though, is like crazy talk.
Anyways, is pretty wild.
The number 4 top story is median age of home buyers increased to 56 years old in 2024. Keon. So, 16 comments, 10,026 sets. From Super Something.
No.
Keon, what's this?
Zospoterko. I've never said it out loud, I don't think. Looks like he shared a graph of the median age of home buyers, and it's older than it was pretty much any other time in history.
Or recorded history.
This is so sad. I want a house so bad.
Do you really?
I'm so poor.
Do you really want a house though?
Yeah.
It is like women want houses more than dudes do, I think.
Yeah.
Is it about like babies?
Well, security, it's kind of like it's you just want to take care of it. It feels good to take care of it.
I see a nest.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily about anything other than that.
They're all a part of the same branch of like.
But it's not really nurturing. Yours when you have a mortgage. It's the banks and you're kind of like lease. It's like.
True. It's a problem. I would rather not do that. I would rather just buy land and build my house.
Oh, dang. Based.
There was a time where I was like really anti house. But we were close in getting a house in 2020.
Yes, I remember.
And we were going to purchase it, but for whatever reason. We listened to the stupid homeowner lady, and she was like, oh, the pipes or something. I remember at the time I was thinking, I was like, that's just so dumb. You should just do it. Because it was like a $120,000 house.
Wow.
And like I looked at the price here recently. It's obviously manufactured, but looking back on it now, should have done it.
Yeah.
So I would say as soon as you get yourself in a situation where you can buy a house, just do it. Don't even think about it.
That's not what I would say. I would say
because looking back on it now,
don't do it.
That was already money that was saved for a house. Like I already had my Bitcoin stack,
mm-hmm.
So it wasn't. There was no other reason for that money other than to get a house.
Yeah,
and we just didn't do it.
Right. Yeah. But there's probably a part of you now that's
like, no. Kayla's
you're probably
like, no.
Glad now that you don't have this house, though.
Actually, no, because I probably would have kept it.
That could have been the hacker house.
That could have been the hacker house. I probably would have kept it. Or we would have decided on something, but it wouldn't have been sold. One of us would have kept it.
Because as soon as you get a house, you know what else you can get?
Kids.
A dog.
I had a dog before. Anyways.
That's not.
But,
all right. Fine.
I don't know. Yeah, what do you think?
I'm outnumbered. I just don't know why anyone would buy a house.
I mean, now I wouldn't buy a house. I mean, there's no point.
I don't know. I mean, I'm almost. Back then, yeah. I mean, I don't usually agree with the WEF, but I agree with the WEF on, like, I think renting and stuff is great. As we were talking about, I went out of the city instead of, like, I don't have a vacation home, but
this was out of the city.
The one
that we were looking at was out of the city.
I leased a vacation home for 10 days, and I don't have to worry about maintenance on it.
Could have just
burst pipes.
Should have just squatted.
Well, that's not exactly a solution, but I got to live like a rich person without, you know, owning anything.
It didn't feel like it for a week.
I think that's great. I think you're going to do that a lot more. It's like financially, it doesn't make sense really to buy a house. Most analysis shows.
My dream house is a Cobb house.
Oh my God, I love Cobb. House.
It's like made out of clay.
Oh.
And straw.
Oh, yes. Have you watched those Cobb videos? There's a great Cobb video on Netflix. There's a show.
Oh, really?
In the UK where they make a lot of Cobb houses on a relative basis. And a dude makes a huge Cobb mansion.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I just love a house that there's like no there's no flat surface.
So it's a mixture of clay, yes. Sand, and straw and water.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Everything's rounded and like.
Feminine.
Feminine, exactly.
Yeah, pull it up, Jamie.
Yes.
Pull it up, Jamie. I don't know.
Everything is custom, so I build like little shelves.
I don't know. Pull it up, Jamie.
Yeah, you have
that are just for this one particular item to go into.
Oh, yeah, each book. Each book has its own.
That's a Cobb house. It's
so
a Hobbit house.
Those?
Yeah. And I would love it to be built into like a hill.
Dude, this is what Darth Coin's building.
Yeah.
I don't think his is Cobb, though.
He's like stone. He's pretty much stonework, right?
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
Wait,
the masculine version.
What he's doing?
Huh?
Wait, he's stone while he's doing it?
He's making a stone. He's making a house from stone and like,
so sick, yo, like
sandbags. That. You don't get your brain doesn't get sick like this car. Come
dude,
on.
You should have saw the visions I saw this week. It was crazy.
Tell me.
Oh, no. Let's hear them.
No, they're super crazy.
Oh,
I'd be embarrassed to share.
Oh.
Well, look, yeah, Cobb house. Is there a thing?
Well, yeah.
I think you can build that anywhere.
You can. I mean, anywhere you have the right clay.
You should just go build it South Austin. No one's going to tell you anything.
Okay.
You would build adobe probably here.
Why? Because that's what's in the ground?
Yeah, because that's what they built here traditionally.
Oh.
Yeah.
Maybe if somebody will find out 10 years from now, hey, what are you doing back there with that Cobb house?
I wouldn't appropriate like that, I don't think.
Dude, the homeless have done it.
Just get yourself some moccasins and like a friend's jacket.
Right, Kia? The homeless have done it.
It works
for them. They're just all over the place in the woods now. Dude, it's crazy in Austin now. Anyways.
Yeah, it's going to get worse.
The number three top story is question around developer privacy preservation. This is from Optimism Devs Territory, February 22nd, 15 comments, 1,789 sats. Keon, how serious is this?
I don't know if it's serious, but I mean, he's not joking.
It's number three. Hackers care about this.
It is number three. Well, it's a really good question. Most people don't realize when they're interacting with any person's servers how much data they can grab on them. And when you're doing things like contributing to Bitcoin, you might be your real identity getting leaked and associated with those contributions has consequences, as we've seen in the CSW lawsuits. So Optimism describes a few leaks in their privacy, because they're usually pretty good about it, where their VPN was reconfigured and it wasn't on, and they made some Git contributions, and the people who, you know, GitHub and the people who run that repo now have know where they live, and that information could be gathered and shared. So they're asking if anyone is aware of a Tor-only like contribution system or a Git host. And if not, they want to build one. And yeah, that's pretty much what the question's about is developer privacy. There's also other, you know, I've had concerns about like a lot of Stacker News' development and a lot of our conversations are on GitHub. And if GitHub goes away or they decide one day they have a policy against Bitcoin projects, there goes a lot of like our collective knowledge has disappeared. And so I've looked into in the past like backups and stuff, running mirrors, but nothing has really appeared that's very easy to use.
So you don't run a backup for your GitHub?
No, I mean, we have backups of the code, but I'm talking about all the metadata, the things that make GitHub what it is. By it gives them their moat, that metadata moat, all of our issues, our discussions, all like the PR comments, you know, things that are really that really set a cultural tone for the development of the project. Those would all disappear if Google kicked us off.
It kind of makes me think about whenever I see stuff like this. Obviously, there's always going to be people after your data and always want to sell it because it's good money. But the second thing is, like, what's the crux of the problem is that it's getting served to who knows who, right? We don't know where that data is going, whether it's governments, North Korea, ABC agencies. Like, it just that's the biggest problem to it all, right? Is that data is getting is getting shared with others that we don't even know who they're who's where it's going.
Well, right? the worst thing about it is in many cases this data is just for sale, and that was put on display for me in the most obvious way around the Trump assassination. There was a conservative organization that determined the location of the shooter's phone for years. Where he was going, and they associated a device ID with his home and his work. And then they're like, okay, where is this device ID gone in the last few years? And they're like, oh, it went to Washington, D.C. It went to Oklahoma. It went to all these other places. It went to this gun range. And they were able to just buy it. That information was not like, they didn't have to like blackmail someone or steal it. They just paid for it on a like information exchange.
Yeah.
Legally.
Yeah, totally. I think that's the biggest problem is like the sale of all this data that's being collected from not even just Bitcoiners, but just developers in general. And they're selling it.
That's why I'm so afraid of like a lot of the KYC stuff. I mean, that's why Bitcoiners are afraid of KYC stuff. Or encourage people to not use KYC. So you're basically logging with like registering with the government effectively, because these KYC systems, they have to report at the government's request who all of their users are, what all their transaction history is. And so you're effectively register a gun. You're like registering your Bitcoiner status with the government.
Yeah.
I kind of remember like a couple years back that this question kind of came up then, or there was somebody that was like detailing, maybe it was just Austin talking to me, detailing like why GitHub is kind of vulnerable as like your one place for all this stuff. And if there are alternatives, the challenges to like creating an alternative.
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
Yeah. That gets discussed pretty often. That was discussed quite a bit around the time that Nostr came out, because one of the first things Jack Dorsey requested was
something else. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
Did anybody say that in the comments?
The top comment was from Elvis Mercury. He says, I have no expertise to offer, but I have been super curious for years about how the OPSEC, or lack of it, play out among core devs once various important people groups have billions and trillions at stake are no longer okay with riding on the whims of some small collection of neckbeards. So far as I could tell, almost no discussion or concrete action has occurred to preempt the issue, aside from the attrition of some good people.
Yeah. Well said, Elvis Mercury.
I referred optimism to a person that I did a podcast interview with years ago. His name is Chris. He's based in Australia. He's this great open source dev who's runs a Git host, who is on Nostr, I believe would be, and has written a Git tool that allows you to push Git commits over Tor, who I thought would be perfect for maybe proposing a more anonymous Git host to. And hope he reached out to him. But
Yeah, so nobody claimed that Jack Dorsey bounty.
I don't think they've claimed it yet, but people are definitely working on it. Yeah. I've seen some pretty impressive projects, and they've gotten pretty far, but I don't think they're, like, there yet, where Jack Dorsey is, like, have a crumb.
Cool. Well?
He's sharing pretty much, he's sharing a lot of his pie, you think?
I don't know. When your pie is, like, the size of Mount Everest.
It's like, easy to just...
Well, I don't know if it's easy. It's probably, I mean, $1 million is still $1 million because he could, like, he, you know, he could buy people's lives with $1 million.
Whoa.
Which he, yeah. But,
whoa.
Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah. What would you recommend? What would you recommend, Keon, to developers that are getting into Bitcoin or looking to get into Bitcoin? Like, how would you
developers into Bitcoin?
Like, how would you recommend
don't
them?
Do it?
Oh, really?
No, I mean, not really, but I mean, I would say it's one of the most hostile environments to be a developer in. I mean, most other, like, technical ecosystems, the political hierarchy is composed mostly of other builders. In Bitcoin, it's composed of financial people and social media influencers. So, you know, so you're like, you're sort of like, you're a second class citizen and you're doing all the work. And if you're a Bitcoin developer, and you're like you're constantly the enemy. So it's, I would say it's like, I would only do it really if you're like an extra masochist. Because being a builder already, you have to, being a founder already, you have to be a masochist. But being a Bitcoin developer is like, on like double hard mode, in terms of the emotional effort.
How would you recommend they keep their privacy though? That's what I was.
Oh, I'm sorry. I had my own shit going on. I would recommend, anyone who comes to work for Stacker News, I recommend that they don't ever share their name. So we have EK, that's their pseudonym. Lately Socks has been working with us and that's their pseudonym. So definitely don't use your real name, and, rotate your pseudonym if you can. Sometimes it's hard because you've built up reputation on it. But if you haven't had a breach, with your real name associated with your pseudonym, that can be okay. Definitely never, use your real IP address if you can. There are lots of great guides. Lop has written a lot about this.
Cool.
So that's what I would recommend.
Good stuff. The number two top story is the Pleb Economist. Number four, I orange pilled my class today. This is from Simple Stacker, Econ Territory, 22 hours, 21 comments, 15,000 sats. That's a lot of sats. Number two, what's this, Keon?
Yeah, Pleb Economist number four. So Simple Stacker is an economics professor at, in his own words, an unprestigious state university. And they taught a class where they had a class where they taught their students about money and used Bitcoin to discuss money with them. And they showed them this video, which Bell Curve had shared, I guess, in a thread somewhere, which I guess does a really good job of explaining this. And they said their students were really, really into it. Normally, he said he doesn't normally bring up Bitcoin at all, except for sharing an order book, a supply and demand, like a snapshot of an order book on an exchange. Yeah, it seemed to go pretty well. And he said none of the, like, environment FUD came up. Some of the quantum FUD came up. But it sounded like his students were pretty excited about it. We also have Shugard, who I believe teaches high school. And they've similarly been, quote-unquote, indoctrinating their students about Bitcoin. It's kind of cool, I think.
Nice write-up.
Yeah.
Yeah, top comment from, let's see. Siegel said, interesting, I love the idea of showing video to Orange Pill. Wonder how long is this class? We have less than 1 hour here. The videos you took for lesson plans are about 1 hour. So it looks like the classes are 75 minutes twice a week.
That was a trash comment.
Yeah.
It was the number one comment.
I need to have. Yeah, people aren't tapping enough in comments.
South Korea said, pretty cool. Are you free to choose what to teach, or do you have to follow a certain curriculum? He says, yes, I'm pretty free to teach whatever I want. We have learning objectives determined the department college level each class, but they're pretty high level and easy to align any reasonable curriculum to. Oh, so you can just kind of shiv it in. That's cool.
Yeah.
There you go. That's number two top story.
Huzzah.
Yeah, that's a good...
Do you guys want to go to a Ren Faire? We were talking about
that. Yeah.
Yeah, this year?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. It should open up soon.
Really?
A what?
I thought it was like October.
No, I think it like goes all through the summer.
What is it called?
It's the Ren Faire that's north of Houston. It's like the biggest Ren Faire in the country. And it's like, because it has like a permanent look. Ren Faire.
How do you guys know these terms? I have no idea what they are.
Because I'm white, Car.
Oh, makes sense.
Cobb? Ren Faires? That's what we do.
No, that was a thing. Yeah, let me go back here. It's not working.
Yeah, it's like
Carl, white. If you had to guess, what do you think Ren is short for?
Like some sort of wine or something? Yeah. Pertaining to this conversation.
No, it's short for Renaissance.
Oh, I know what a Renaissance fair is.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Cool. Why do you guys call it the Ren Fair?
Oh, because that's what you call it when you're like cool.
Oh.
Yeah, like you, what do you call Dia de los
Muertos? Dude, I want to go to the Ren Fair. And yes. Then I want to be like one of those guys who wears the, you know, that comes attacks you with the big old.
I can imagine you like
the nunchuck thing.
Oh, the nunchuck guy?
I can imagine you being an Undertaker.
No. Dude, I would have like, dude, if I was.
Dude, you could be out there with just a turkey leg up in your mouth.
Dude, have you ever been to.
Just chewing on that thing?
Have you ever been to Dallas? The what's that place called?
The State Fair?
No, the other one. Gosh.
Rodeo?
No, they Six have Flags? Knights. They have knights and they fight each other.
Oh,
God, I've been there like twice.
It's so oh, amazing. I know what you're talking about. It
medieval
was in
times.
Medieval times.
Oh, I want to go there. You've so never been bad. There I haven't times? Been.
Dude, it's awesome. It's like UFC but better.
Yeah, because you're eating like a whole chicken, right?
That's yeah, the food's not about. That good though.
Because well, they serve it to like 1,000 people yeah. at the same time.
But the fight.
Dude, let's go.
It's really good.
Why did that come up? All of it? You just said Ren Faire, like because
I was
nowhere.
Thinking of the guys who because
it's a car just combined them like a car does.
I thought that was the same thing
with a sick braid.
The Renaissance, okay. The Renaissance and medieval were the same era, right?
I don't know. I'm not.
That's
a historian.
Great question. No, you, because medieval would have been like dark ages, and Renaissance is after that period.
Oh, so medieval was worse.
Yeah, I think we were less culture. I think Renaissance is like the birth of like modernity.
So we're living in like the medieval times of the of technology right now.
Dude,
then.
That's profound.
I don't know.
We're living in the medieval times of
I'm
technology.
I'm going to scratch that down for my
yeah,
next poem.
Steal it. Anyways, this is what the sick brain's coming up with this week. The number one top story of the week. Can you believe it? It's coming up?
Oh, no.
The six pitfalls of getting on zero.
Wow.
It's from blockchain Boog. Whoa, Boog made it to number one.
I think this might be the first time Boog has been
on
the
first
go.
Time ever for Boog. 42 comments, 3,760 sets. Way to go, Boog. What is this, Kia?
Yeah, so I guess last spring, that would be almost a year ago, they made the decision to get on zero.
Blockchain Boog?
Yeah, blockchain Boog.
Oh, wow.
Shout out to Sahil. Who was a big get on zero.
Oh, yeah. That's
or right. I think that was their like their chosen phrase for this. So he hold them, get on zero means he holds no dollars. He got on $0.
Oh, wow.
And only held Bitcoin. And he describes how much it sucked, basically, trying to
when
pay
I
fiat.
When dollars, he'd pay a bill, then I would sell. Oh, wow.
Yeah. So he lists off six things that really sucked about it. You know, I think some of it sounds mostly psychological, just like the issue of selling Bitcoin. And, you know, and when you have the option to just hold debt and pay a little interest, maybe you start doing that a little more than you'd like to, a little more than you should. I said he missed a couple bills sometimes, not liquidating soon enough.
He said the anxiety you feel when the price drops a bit, your cash balance goes below 50 to 100. Oh, wow. If you decide to do this, consider leaving sats you plan to sell for dollars on the exchange. Again, what do you think? I think this is an amazing top story.
I think so too.
I just want to share, like,
so good,
you know, in solidarity with Blockchain Boog, and the theme of this episode is I'm poor. I just want to share how much money I have in my, I'm so close to getting on zero because I have $2. Let's go.
$2.
I don't know, like, you know, I don't know, maybe it's just me, but I really do get a kick out of, like, looking around and not really pricing. I mean, this is, it's going to sound kind of like, you know, wholesome stuff, but it's true. Like, I look around and I see the world I live in, and I'm like, man, I'm a very rich man. When I see everything around me, like all my, I'm here with all my friends, like, get to do what I love every day.
Dude,
I get
just to go waking to church, up in the morning.
Right? Like,
yeah.
I don't know. To me, that seems like a very special. To me, that seems like very rich in life.
Yes, bro. It's so dude, special.
Are you saying you're never on
life.
Zero?
No, what I'm saying is, like, what Blockchain Boog is describing here. Sure, Boog, maybe you are, like, doing this and it sucks or whatever, but you're living the life.
You're never on zero, Blockchain Boog. That's our message to you. With he's us, not. You he's have, not. You always have.
His life is probably super rich.
Extra credit.
As far as, like, his friends, us that talk about him all the time. I freaking love Blockchain Boog. I see him all the time on everywhere.
Big supporter of Bitcoin stuff. He supported No BS Bitcoin the other day.
Blockchain Boog's a legend.
Yeah.
Early supporter of Stacker News Live. Fan of the pod. Fan of the lab.
Bless up, Blockchain Boog.
Bless up.
I think Blockchain Boog has a lot to look forward to.
Yeah, you just got to count your blessings every once in a while.
I think so. I think just look around, Boog. You got everything, man. Anyways, that's my wholesome message.
Yeah, this morning I woke up and I gave thanks to God for being alive. And you know what? It felt so good to do that. I just
recommend
that.
Something wrong with that. I don't know. I just get really excited whenever I think about the possibilities of the day when I wake up in the morning. Sure, there are some days where I wake up and I'm like, you know, see angry messages at you. You're just like, oh, what do you do? But at the end of the day, you just take your blessings and keep going.
Yeah.
So, how many angry messages do you get a day?
At least once a day.
At least what?
At least once a day.
Oh, only once? I thought you were about to say like 10 or 20.
Either via email or like... wherever it happens. Yeah. It's hard to make everybody happy all the time.
Yeah, for sure.
The Morningstar had the top comments. It says, can we ever come out of the fiat trap if we don't make things easier? I have Bitcoin, but I simply can't think of other way of using it if needed than to sell it for fiat. Wait, is that a trick question?
I don't know. I don't understand it. I would scroll down.
Like, no, hang on. We have to answer this. You have the top comment, damn it.
I don't know if it's still the top.
Tax merchant adoption.
I don't know any lot of this.
Okay. Darth Coin said, oh, you can ignore advice, but you can't ignore advice.
It's always Darth Coin. Mark my words. You didn't listen to my words.
Yeah. Darth Coin says, oh, yeah, wait a second. Blockchain Blue and Darth Coin don't really get along that well.
Really?
In the beginning, you did not need all the merchants on board. It's enough as a single one. Went off the small mom and pop. Have a shop owner doing that for many years. Oh, okay. I see what he's saying. Darth Coin saying you should just like try to orange pill the people that you continuously buy from.
Oh, okay. That's a strategy. Yeah. It would take a long time, though. You'd have to have.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, that's the number one story of the week. We're going to jump into. Do you want to go to Janna's?
Who's that?
Oh, I'm sorry. Do you want to go to Pleb Poets?
Yeah, we'll get
I don't
to
know
the
why I said your
female
name.
Segment of the show.
Whoa. Dang, you're the worst person sometimes.
Let me see.
All the time.
Yeah, that was a good week.
Dude, look how much you stacked.
Oh, is it 666?
Yeah.
Oh, it's creepy.
Whoa.
Wait, which one is the newest one?
As I said, the female segment.
Is this one?
The show. 666.
Oh, I posted that this week. Was that this week?
No. He's just clicking around on the bio.
No, that was when you were on vacation.
Scroll down. Yeah, there you go.
See, right there. Oh, that's my post.
Oh, wow. This one's from Plepo. It's what has Craigslist done for you? Plepo, what has Craigslist done for you?
I just wanted to hear some fun Craigslist stories because it's such a funny thing, Craigslist. You know, have you ever, what do you buy on Craigslist or shop for?
Motorcycles.
Nice. And Keon bought a couch.
Motorcycles, too.
Yeah.
That was the last thing I bought on Craigslist. That was the last thing. I was like,
always buy my motorcycles on
Craigslist. I mean, why wouldn't you buy your motorcycles on Craigslist?
Yeah. I mean, what else is this leather hoodie for? Except for my motorcycles. Scoresby
said I've used Craigslist to buy and sell plants. That's weird. Dude, sell plants?
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good idea. But yeah, I'm trying to sell a Jeep on Craigslist.
Oh, wow.
See?
Dude, people sell Jeeps. You're an importer and exporter now? For
Plaid. How much is that Jeep going for on Craigslist?
Bitcoin Plaid Dev?
I'm an importer exporter.
I don't know. That's just like.
Austin's like, it's news to me.
Something you say in like movies where someone's like, what do you do for a living? I'm an importer exporter.
I've never heard that. Okay.
Okay, fine.
10K, but I will.
But yes.
Cool.
Wait, did you post it on Craigslist already?
It's on Craigslist.
Yep.
But listen, I'll give you 2K off if you pay me in Bitcoin before Bitcoin hits.
Wait, did you post it in here?
Oh, you should post it on Agora.
Post it. Okay, we'll post our Jeep on Agora if you guys are interested. Sure.
It's a really cool Jeep. You've seen it, right?
We'll have the bidding starting at $1.
Buy Austin's dream car from him. Steal his dream.
Right? Well, it already got stolen once.
I mean, yeah, but he re-got it.
But we redeemed it. It's a survivor. Yeah, it's been through a lot. It's a rugged machine. It's a beautiful beast.
Can you send me the link so I can pull it up? Or does it dox you in any way? Wait, you have it up?
I didn't even post about it, so I don't know why we're talking about it. But that's why I went to Craigslist.
You didn't even share it, though, Jana.
I know.
Oh, man.
It's like it looks really cool because it's like taller than it is long.
Is it cryptocurrency?
That's like one of the
most. Yeah, that's a big box.
Yeah, but it's like it's the opposite way. Like visually, it doesn't look like other cars.
Because it's like lifted.
Because it's more tall than it is long.
It's got big tires.
Why don't they just like?
It's got a gun on it.
Decal gun. It's also got a. It's got a security drawer.
Does it really have a mount?
Yep.
For a gun.
It's got a locked drawer.
Oh wait. Oh, okay.
That's my casting couch.
Hang on.
It's sick. Because it's very sick and tight.
Hang on. Oh, crap.
Oh, no. This is a whole thing that we've started now.
Well, I want to see it if it's on.
Come there. Check out our internal Slack channel.
Uh-oh.
Let me see here. Let me see. I want to see the.
I don't know what it is.
I'm waiting for.
Car, how can I send it to you?
Just send it to me.
Whoa.
Okay.
State of technology.
It's coming. It's coming.
Today.
Here we go. You've seen it before.
What year is it, though?
2004.
Oh, okay.
It's a good year. Yeah.
Okay.
All right. So this is the
Jeep Wrangler Rubicon.
Oh, wow.
Let's
go.
Whoa.
Is that a Whataburger back there?
Yeah.
Wait, what is he using for? You're the one that took the picture. I told you not to tell me to pull it up if you knew we were going to.
No, okay. All right, let's go through the photos.
Sagas are totally going to find that Whataburger. All right. Oh, that's a good Jeep. Look at that. Dude, you're seriously doxing yourself right now. What are you doing?
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, it's like a square mile.
Wumble, take out that
I think clip. It's fine.
Anyway. if you're interested in a Jeep.
Jeep is for sale.
Post it on Agora.
Okay.
Maybe we can get our first sale through.
Okay, you're right.
Agora.
Okay, I heard
also,
that.
Also, this couch in Keon's office is for sale, too. Right? Or no?
What? No.
No, of course not. I just bought that casting couch.
That looks like you totally just sleep on that couch.
Yeah, it looks like I do other things on the couch.
Oh, man. All right. We're going to jump into. Oh, yeah, we have this one, the Froster one. Did you want to talk about this?
Perfect timing.
Yeah.
Perfect timing.
Yes.
Froster, turn your insect into a rotating Motisig. This is from Bitcoin Club Dev. Austin, what's this? Whoa, what happened? Oh, the plant knocked over.
I knocked plant down.
It'll be okay. Dude, it'll survive. It's good for too. It. Hard things make strong plants. Hard times make strong plants. All right, so this
is... She said just leave it alone.
This was a little bit of a lazy cross post. I know there's not a lot of details in it, but features a demo video, and yeah, it's basically... This is me and CM Druid's project from, I mean, I guess I can, he's already doxxed from the hackathon, Topher.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
We worked on this during the TabConf 2024 hackathon. We won the hackathon with a very, very basic, naive implementation. Topher's been hard at work getting the libraries ready. And at some point, a week and a half ago, he started sending me messages from his multi-sig using two different signers. And so that kicked me into action. We picked up development again, made a roadmap, website. There's a GitHub organization now with a backlog of items. And this is kind of the basic working demo. So this is a demo that you can replicate yourself today, you know, if you're capable of like going to GitHub and downloading binaries and stuff like that. But we have two different signers. One is a desktop app and one is a browser extension forked from Nos2x. And basically the desktop app allows you to turn your insect into the Frost multisig. And then you can take those different keys, one into Igloo and then one into the browser extension. And effectively, when you sign a note with, you know, a quorum of remote signers running, you can sign a note just like normal because the signing protocol works with the existing popular signing protocol, NIP 07 and Noster. And we're going to add the remote signing NIP as well.
And there is there a compete? I know I saw another proposal that's called like Frost Noster. Is that, are you familiar with the other?
Frost Noster. There is another Froster from Nick Farrow.
Okay.
Yeah. That was like, it seems like it was something like a hackathon project for him because me and Topher found that and it was from like a year ago.
Okay.
And actually, I mean, I met Nick at the very first like Bitcoin Plus Plus and he like frost pilled me when I was way too early to hear about it. So shout out to Nick, but he built what seemed like a pretty basic like CLI tool to use their existing Frost libraries they were building.
Okay.
And he kind of just had to do some tweaks to get like the encoding for the Noster key pair.
Okay.
But it doesn't seem like people have done too much with it since then. It's been about a year.
Okay. So you guys are the first people to probably develop like a full-blown demo where you have several, I guess you guys call it, they're shares, right? Several shares in several different places, several different applications, and sign as if it were one NSEC.
Yeah, and very importantly, rotate and then sign again under for the testing to the same pub key, right?
Yeah.
So that's the important part is like once, because for me, all of this was very exciting, but until I had that moment to where it worked fully, I just wasn't sure. And once we got rotation, the remote signing over Noster working, it blew my mind. I was super excited.
Just to a recap, so like just to maybe summarize this at a very conceptual level, what this allows is whoever has the majority of shares of this quorum, I guess these keys. Effectively can replace other shares. And if one of those shares leaks, the person with the majority of the shares can replace that share.
Yeah, basically rotate that stolen key out of the quorum.
Okay.
Effectively. So it's very, very flexible. And kind of one of the quirks is like a lot of people are working on Frost, but Frost is used oftentimes for the adversarial scenario of like, you know, me and a group of other people that maybe trust each other, we're going to collaboratively create a multi-sig quorum together. And so Frost considers a lot of that like adversarial key generation. But the thing is, when you're the one party setting up the quorum, you can kind of just ignore some of those adversarial aspects of setting up the quorum.
Nice.
And you can make certain assumptions about, I guess, just trust because it's only you. But yeah, so, you know, I guess basic announcement here, like everything is open. We're working on issues in real time. And it's basically right now those core libraries, they all work. They're amazingly easy to use. My Bifrost implementation is like 80 lines of code.
Wow.
It's insane. Topher did an amazing job at that library. So
Amazing.
Yeah, just working on kind of taking our very naive demo and trying to make it something that people can actually start to test. And
when are we going to be able to get to the, like an extension that I can just install on Firefox or Chrome or whichever, so that way I can just move my InSec over to Froster?
You can do that right now.
Okay.
The only thing, you're going to have to set up through the desktop app first. Because at first you kind of need to split your InSec into the multisig. And so you need a secure setup environment. And that's what Igloo is. Igloo is kind of going to be the most complex app because it allows you to both generate the keys and also run a remote signer. But the other clients are just going to be very dumb and simple. You just drop in your share, and it just signs for you.
So basically, so you're saying I run this app locally, and then from there I'm able to sign into like Coracle or Primal using a share of my InSec from Nostr.
Exactly, right? And it's split across two different environments, two different devices. And this is a desktop app for right now, but we'll have like Umbral and Start9 apps. There will be a server implementation. We're going to make every possible way you might want to run a remote signer, we're going to build over the next 6 months.
You can quickly see how this is going to kind of go the same way. The friends, like, I don't know if it was Justin, but kind of like the Uncle Jim model for different identities. Do you guys see that? Like, you can quickly see how there, you'll have this, like, this, I don't know if it's Igloo, but it would just be, this is where one identity lives, and then there's several identities that are all shares. Because I remember when you were telling me about, like, Austin, I remember when you were telling me about, like, oh, I need multiple people to run the Pleb Lab account for Nostr. With something like Igloo, that's a possibility now, right?
Yes. It makes it possible to, like, onboard an organization that might have multiple members that need to, you know, post notes throughout a day.
But that's already true of just remote signing in general, right?
Yeah, definitely. It's just a single point of failure.
Yeah.
With that aspect. So it's like, how do you give employees permissions to, like, write notes through a remote signer, but at the same time not give them permissions to do potentially tragic things with that remote
signer? So you can encode permissions in a share?
Yeah, so currently we have very basic permissions, and all those are is send and receive, or both.
Okay.
Meaning that a given share can be set up to be able to send requests to other shares to partially sign, or only receive requests, or both.
This is really, I mean, that is really cool. The fact that you can encode within a share permissions, I think, is a feature I did not realize.
I think that's the biggest unlock here, now that you kind of explain it that way.
Yeah, I mean, it's really, to me, I'm thinking very big about this. Because it's like anything you might want to do to dynamically, programmatically sign stuff over Nostr, whether you're doing marketplaces, responding to messages, working with data, signing Bitcoin transactions, all of this can now be automated in kind of a secure way with something like Froster.
This is kind of really a dumb question, but I'm going to ask it anyway. Could you ever see a possibility where I could sign in via Google? That's why I say it's a dumb question. I could sign in via Google to my Nostr account using something like Froster.
Yes.
Because it basically gets rid of the, or reintroduces a better way of doing single sign-on? Or am I thinking completely different things? I feel like I'm thinking different things now.
A little bit. You're definitely in the right direction. Like, sort of, and I've been thinking about this a lot lately. Plebdevs.com has a little bit of this aspect of, like, your OAuth account, you know, maybe your email can be associated with your Nostr account, so you can sign in with your email, have access to your Nostr. But it's a little bit immature right now. But with something like OpenSecret, you can take that further and actually have an environment where you can generate a key, hand off that key to your user, or associate that key with an OAuth account. And then with Froster, you can take that even further and actually allow an OAuth account to sort of be a signer by its private key or private element that you have within that.
It kind of reminds you of Twilio, right?
But that's very, we're talking very, very.
Yeah. Can you do pass keys with it? I think that would be the real unlock, because we have all these services now. They're now providing pass key support. If you could do if you could somehow support passkeys through this, that might be exactly what car.
Yeah, we've talked a little bit about air gapped signers, but we're going to start with hot devices first, remote signers at first,
yeah,
and then move to the air gapped. But like, definitely, I mean, already today you can store your Noster private key in one of these devices.
Yeah,
and with Froster, your insect can sort of become the backup key.
Are you guys going to apply for a grant? This seems like the kind of thing that would easily get a grant.
We're going to apply for a grant, yeah.
Woo! Hear that? Check that out. Keep your eye on your inbox, grant people.
There's literally only two, HRF and OpenSense.
That's who I'm talking to.
Austin, that's great news, man. Congrats on this, and looking forward to seeing. I still need to try it out. I haven't downloaded it yet, so I need to test it on mine first.
Yeah,
cool.
Yeah, it's kind of like I sort of want developers to try it. If you know how to run the apps,
it's pretty
be
alpha.
A little bit careful, but
yeah, maybe don't use it for your reel.
To be fair, me and Topher are
fully on it.
We have our personal insects on it. It's like, you know, in Roman Empire, you like remove the rafters and you stand underneath the building if you're a builder.
Oh.
We're kind of doing that. So if Froster is broken, we're going to get pwned.
So you're saying wait and see right now.
Yes.
Wait and see for you, but me and Topher are already riding. Oh, okay. Riding
Commando.
The mainnet.
Yeah.
Commando. Cool. Let's jump into our top five. Keon had this one.
Yeah.
From EK, Social Engineering Practice.
Yeah, so EK, EK's really into security stuff. And it looks like he's beginning to do these social engineering practices, which is like a huge component of a successful attack these days. So it describes a scenario where you have a friend, you and your friends want to get into a festival, but it has like common security protocols. You don't have a ticket. You want to get into it, and you also want to get backstage access. What do you like? The prompt is create the most creative, plausible approach to getting in the festival without a wristband for you and your friends, and he'll give you 5,000 sats. And it appears Frost Dragon gave the most
a plot of Mr. Robot. It's funny. So he said step one, try to ID the wristband supplier or possibly be a customer service agent. Hey, can you let me know who makes wristbands? Step two, once you have the supplier, trick would be to impersonate someone from the venue to get more wristbands. Step 2B, if they're used to dealing with a specific venue contact, you can say something like, oh yeah, that makes sense. Step 3, once you establish trust with the supplier, either forged email or via supplier. Yeah, that's crazy. What do you think, Ian?
Well, Justin Shockna had a pretty good one. He said he used to do physical pen tests like this professionally.
Really?
And he said, basically said you show up wearing a suit and then have like, and all your friends wear suits and they're like your security guard and you act like you're a big shot and you have like, you know, earpieces and stuff. And he says you can probably just roll right in.
Yeah, there was a guy there's a video on YouTube where he's trying to get into the NBA finals and he just dressed like one of the players because he looked like similar to one of the players.
Oh, that's hilarious.
And then he just like walked right in. The building, and they didn't say anything until like he went on the court and started shooting jump shots.
Yeah.
Then they realized, okay, this is not the same guy because he was missing him. Yeah, cool. That's a good one, EK. The next one that you had was big idea: charge $1 to apply to a job. Hear me out.
Yeah. So Elvis Mercury shared this one. Admittedly, I only skimmed it, but I think most of it is in the idea that Elvis Mercury describes here. But you put up a job posting now, and I've had this problem. You get a bunch of basically AI spam where people are, you know, submitting fake cover letters they've generated with AI, mm-hmm. fake resumes they've generated with AI. Mm-hmm. And so this guy's like, how do you prevent that? Get them to have them pay to apply $1, you know, just a dollar. If they really want the job, especially if it's a software engineering job, $1, you know, shouldn't be a big deal. If they apply to 100 jobs, it only costs them $100 to get a new job. And then you fight the spam, fight the sibbles.
There's that VC firm that does that where they make you pay in Bitcoin. Do you remember that?
Oh, I do recall something like that.
It's so crazy. You submit your thing and then you have to scan, pay the Lightning invoice, and that's just a way for them to check whether you're like a real Bitcoiner.
Yeah,
and if you're going to waste your time or not.
It's proof of sacrifice. It's a great, you know, it's like proof of work, a surrogate for proof of work, and I think it makes a lot of sense. It's not like the guy is trying to get rich off of people applying. He's just trying to prevent, you know, overload of bots.
But yeah, interesting.
Pretty rad.
The next ones were mine. Jack Dorsey is not Satoshi Nakamoto. This was shared on Stacker News this week. Did you see this? So it was like big news that everybody called Jack Dorsey Satoshi Nakamoto. Apparently this guy was the guy.
I don't know. People aren't
developed. It was like a lot of weird things. Like one was like, he's in San Francisco. Or he was in California. Oh, he went here. He also was.
These are DOS attacks. Reach.
It was just a reach everywhere.
Yeah, went everywhere.
It's like Satoshi's birthday was this thing. It's also Jack's birthday.
I think these are people using.
His favorite color is this color. It's also Satoshi's color.
Yeah, dumb stuff like that.
It was
that.
Just like really interesting. Things.
I think it's people using OpenAI's deep research that is out to be like, okay, give me a research report on how Jack Dorsey is Satoshi Nakamoto, and then they're like sort of rewriting it into a very viral social media post because people love this kind of stuff. And then a lot of people aren't capable of actually filtering, like determining what would qualify someone to be Satoshi.
So this is a guy. So he's from Van Eck, it looks like.
Is he really?
Oh. Well, that makes a lot of sense now.
Oh, no.
Anyways.
It's good marketing.
Good marketing.
Yeah, but it was just...
But yeah, and then Jameson Lopp came in and just was like, just like, this is not a good thing because he's had to deal with people doxing a lot of his information. I thought it was interesting. I didn't even know this about Jack, but apparently he was working with the State Department and other people in the government. Did you know
that? He went out to lunch with Alyssa Milano?
Yeah, I didn't even know all that stuff.
It's a real celebrity.
Yeah.
Fred Wilson,
even Jameson Lopp does a pretty good job of like doxing a lot of things about him. But anyway, I thought that was a crazy story. And then, of course, you know, you got the Stackers in there with all their crazy stuff. I think the top comment was from Singo. He says, I highly believe that he's someone who has never been speculated. All these names for Tushnar are just to create buzz. And then Kemper says, it's absurd, really. What do you think?
I think it's absurd. I think...
Austin, what do you think, Austin?
It's pretty absurd.
Yeah, I don't see. I mean, it would be like there is also these theories about Elon being Satoshi. It's like, yeah, he's building rockets and playing Dota and running Tesla, and then he's also riding Bitcoin in his spare time.
Yeah. Anyways, thought that was a good one. And then the other one was this story, made it on Stacker News. Apparently, it was
stolen. Apparently, it was Pete stolen. Rizzo on Twitter.
But anyway, it's a great story. I didn't hear about it on Twitter because I'm not on Twitter. But who is Artforce? He's one of Bitcoin's richest men. Apparently, there's this guy who started mining Bitcoin when it was a penny, and this whole story talks about how he was optimizing for GPU mining, and then at some point, that was no longer a thing. And anyways, interesting story. He's not around in the space anymore. But from what I could gather, this man right here, legend.
Yeah, very cool.
150 times faster than,
one of the earliest Bitcoin miners, and I think started GPU mining early, wrote.
Wait, what did he do with Minecraft? Scroll up. After Bitcoin,
I think he was trying to mine.
Contribute some video game mods, including Minecraft.
Yeah, but this one was like here where he had. Let me see if I can share this. Yeah. So he had like, what was it, 50,000 Bitcoin mined in cap, but he mined like close to 400,000. Isn't that crazy? He spent like 400,000 Bitcoin.
Well, it was back then. It was worth probably less than a dollar.
Yeah, but that's wild, though, right?
So many people think it's easy to fall into the thought that, like, if only I was earlier to Bitcoin. If only I was early to Bitcoin. But the reality is, if you were early to Bitcoin, you would just be a failed millionaire.
Yeah. You would have to have a bunch of financial regret, as most Bitcoiners who've been in Bitcoin for a long time do. They'll tell you.
They have lost an immense... They've lost more Bitcoin than they'll ever have.
This is the one that Scoresby said they copied.
Yep. Scoresby found it.
But yeah, pretty interesting though, right? 400,000, he only kept 50,000.
Yeah, even this guy. Like, you had to be this dude, and even this dude left with, you know, 5% of his total stack.
Yeah, but 5% of his total stack is, what, $1 billion, probably?
Yeah,
$1 billion. That's pretty good. Anyways, that's all the top stories this week on Stacker News. Let's jump into the top stackers.
I better not be at the top this week again. Gosh,
dude, you weren't in the top last week. It was amazing.
Oh, I wasn't?
You know?
Oh, that's fantastic.
You weren't. It was great.
Man, I did it again. Like,
take yourself off.
I want to, but Undisciplined keeps telling me not to, and Undisciplined is my rival, so I have to like listen to him.
Yeah, well, Undisciplined would be number one.
Yeah, exactly.
The game has changed. I mean, the stackers are... you can tell the people that are like the most... The heavy users are the posts that I see more, the posts that I respond to more.
Yeah. I mean, it does just happen that way. It's a power law. And there are people who engage a lot on Stacker News and other people who don't. And yeah. It just...
You're kind of just... it's a good thing I like sports.
Yeah, right. There is a lot for me. There is a lot of sports on Stacker News, which is not intentional. But it's a big... Apparently, it was like Reddit's like fourth subreddit.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
It was the biggest one they had first?
Not the biggest, but it was like their fourth one. I think they started with a programming one, and then they did an NSFW one, and then I think they might have done a science one, and then they did a sports one.
Yeah, because sports is interesting.
Yeah, people love talking about sports.
Especially when you're all deep into tech stuff, just something completely the opposite of...
It is, yeah, it is such nice a gateway. As a break.
Yeah. Let's jump into the number one... What is this called? The top segment? Bitcoin? The Cowboy segment?
Yes.
Where Keon wears this
BTC
hat.
Sessions' is worst nightmare. The BTC top sessions. Cowboy segment.
Yeah. We got somebody in hiding who I'm pretty sure is, I won't say.
No one knows.
I know who it is.
It's a deep.
Everybody knows who it is. We just don't say out of respect.
We don't want to dox
that person.
The Cowboy.
Anyways. We got that person, and then we got Keon, Undisciplined, 117. Oh, dude, I forgot to tell you, the other day I had a horse.
Oh, you got a horse?
Popped up in my.
Oh, that's great.
I think I got my first horse recently.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Came out of nowhere.
I was just
shocked. You guys are slacking.
I couldn't believe it. I was like, this horse just popped up on my homestead.
We're going to change the rules eventually.
Horses were just flying around. Everybody was getting horses. That was cool.
That'll take a moment.
Still got a shooter, though. Blockchain Boog, number 5.
Yeah, shooters are harder to get.
Gray Ruby. Yeah. I feel like Stacker Sports is taking over Stacker News, dude. Look at this.
I mean, Undisciplined and Gray Ruby are...
You took 1 week off,
man. Look at their comments and their...
We might just need a brand rename.
And their posts.
Stacker Sports. Just make that the default territory.
I would love for these top stackers, here's some content I would love. A day in the life of like a top fucking cowboy. Just like how do you do it?
Oh,
what is
yeah.
your yeah, what is your are you just like
you know what?
I don't know, like four screens, like a day trader, but like
you know what? I would love to see that too, Austin.
They've already had Siggy has described their story already, who is probably in this list somewhere hiding. And then Gray Ruby has also described
His process?
Well, not his process, but like what he does.
Every day?
What is life? Not every. Well, yeah. Like,
when did you do that?
He remember those years ago. We even talked about it on the podcast. But he used to do commercial real estate. He had a commercial real estate business. Yeah, we've talked about it on the podcast before. Siggy used to be a lawyer. They're both retired. Undisciplined is an economist who is very efficient at his work, and I think multitasks very well. So he's able to spend quite a bit of time on Stack.
I find that he is quite disciplined, though.
Yeah, I think he probably is pretty disciplined. Yeah, but that's pretty much, that's the day in the life.
I think Austin's like, give me the play-by-play, like,
first yeah, thing. I always want to know more. I want to know, like,
give me the play-by-play.
The grossest, like, what do you do when you're just tired? You're just tired of the stack. Do you get tired of the Stackers?
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
I don't think so for the top Cowboys you really do. Probably not.
That's true. If you're a top Cowboy, you're looking down.
I would imagine Stacker. Like you like reading your writing on Stacker News. I would imagine that's probably one thing that they like.
Yeah,
reading what they wrote and other people commenting on what they wrote, and most of them are NIMs anyway. So, you know, they're able to freely
express themselves
without fear of.
I've always wanted to create a NIM, but I feel like I write the same. I can't like convince myself to write differently.
Who knows you? Anyways,
I want to do it though.
Still. Cool. Top Stackers.
Tip Stackers.
Let's jump into the zap. So we had some controversial zaps this week from last week.
Did we?
Yeah.
This is
what happens.
I'm looking forward to that.
When Coob leaves for a week.
The controversy
we get into controversy.
What happened last week? It was
you guys
Ted?
Weren't here.
Ted.
I wasn't so it was here. Ted. Where was I?
Where were you?
I don't know. It was working.
Anyways, he says... So, yes, last week's episode was, is value for value a scam, ? And I think me and Ted really came into the, we, like, really dove into it, good or bad.
Okay.
And this guy said, user 401 said, I rent my house paying value for value. So, I don't know what that means.
Paying?
Value I think he's saying that he gets the value from staying in the house, and he pays it in Bitcoin.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's basic.
So I think this
what do you
was,
do?
I think this was the most listened to podcast that we've had.
No way, really?
Yeah, but I think it wasn't because you left or anything, but it was because of the title.
Oh.
So people thought we were like shitting on Valley for Valley, but we weren't. We were just like having a conversation of whether it's
you
a scam.
Had that clickbaity.
Yeah.
Is Valley for Value a broken scam?
No, it's every title that I grab is from the week's top headlines. So that's why true. It's
what
the
is
title.
This week's?
Something
privacy developer.
Yeah, oh, okay. Whatever was number three, I think.
Okay.
The blockchain boog had one. He said, "Oh, clapping." Then he says, "Zap, miss you, Keon." Oh, blockchain boog, miss
Keon.
That's
last
nice. Week. There you go. Zap was from Gray Ruby. Chad said, "Okay, here we go." Chad said, "All this value for value foot is because Bitcoiners have an extremely narrow viewpoint of value for value." Spencer covered the same article very well on the latest Bull After Bull. I don't know what Bull After Bull is, but what's this?
Bull After Bull? That sounds like my kind of podcast.
Oh, sure. I think it is.
I think they clipped this conversation.
Like, okay.
I think we.
They like talk about it. I'll go listen to it.
Well, I think we pissed people off.
I'm really curious. Like, I think I need a good. And hey, maybe if you disagree with the value for value FUD, give me a good argument on Stacker News.
Well, here goes PS. So PS actually,
okay.
Who I follow on Noster, and I see his comments all the time. He said the problem with people who take advantage of others providing value is that they have not yet encountered the right individual to step up and take that value that they are due. If I provide value for someone and they take advantage of my work ethic or value. Me personally have no problem slapping the shit out of them and taking my value.
Bro.
But they have brainwashed most of us to be sheep, not take matters into our own hands.
Damn.
I don't understand.
No, he's basically saying, Austin, because me and Ted were having you have to go back and listen to the episode, but he's basically saying that, and this is where I was telling, I don't remember exactly what I said, but I said something to the likes of, well, Ted, people will give out value and keep taking that value, and expect nothing in return. Or we'll expect you, we'll give you nothing in return.
Yeah.
It's like they'll expect you just to work for free the rest of your time. And that's how, what's your joke, Keon, that you say? Oh, I love Bitcoin. Everybody works for free. That's your joke?
I don't think it's my joke.
It's one joke that you make. But it's...
okay.
But it's kind of that same thing. He's saying that, no, he wouldn't do that. He's not a sheep like that. It's a very controversial episode.
Well, we talked about it quite a bit. There's a good thread on it where we had a back and forth about it, to your point.
Okay, Austin. Okay.
And then he also said, my take on anyone who's against value for value is not only my enemy, but the enemy of everything that is good on earth.
Oh, damn. No.
Whoa. Anyone who is not 100% value for value and has sponsors can be manipulated. So whoever isn't down should lay down or get laid out, period. Exclamation point.
Woo.
What do you think about that, Keon?
Well, I mean, I definitely think advertising-based business models are bad, and so I think he's right to hate that. But I don't think I'm not certain the only alternative is value for value for that. So I think I agree with the thing he's mad about, but I am actually not super on board with value for value as a slogan. I definitely agree on like free exchange and trade, if that's what we mean by value for value. It depends on what we mean for value for value. But I don't think value for value has changed anything. I think it's just a new name for busking and tipping is kind of my point. Yeah.
See, yeah. What do you think on this, Austin?
That's an interesting point. Yeah, I mean, for me, it's like what it...
I agree. You asked me this week about a value for value thing, and you're like, should I take value from them? I won't say no names, but and I was like, I don't know. And you were kind of like, oh, I don't know.
Well, but you're saying value for value, but really we're talking about like something like a partnership, a business deal. Hey, I want this work done. I'm willing to pay for it. Are you willing to do it? Right. That's very different than me putting out
video.
You know, a video, and it's like, hey, you can zap.
So
this.
How then? What is he talking about then? Because
he might. That's what I mean. Is like,
I think he's talking about getting away from the ad model and like the alternative to the ad model, and so that's what I'm all about. Is the alternative to the ad model, but it's not just tipping. Like PlebDevs has no ads. No one gives me anything, and I have a subscription model and tipping. And it's paid, and there's paid content, so it's a little bit of everything. And people give me value. There's value for value. Like,
where's your content that I can buy though?
Oh, right here. Like the two courses there on the right.
Oh,
those are really the only two paid, explicitly paid items. Is these full paid courses? But besides that, everything is just up, and it's for free. But and you know, people zap me, and that's awesome. And it's like I want to give away as much of my content as possible for free. But anyway, so back to the business model thing. Like, is value for value really a business model? Because me with PlebDevs, with selling courses and having the value for value tipping and subscriptions, I hardly have a business model. It feels like a joke calling it a business model. It's so small and niche. And even me, I have more reach than most people in Bitcoin. And I still am like, you know, scrapping in the gutter for zaps and value for value zaps. And so for me, it's like, where's the actual business model? You can't just point to Adam Curry, because I'm like, what's the difference between Adam Curry and just like a girl in a hot tub on Twitch getting tipped nonstop, right?
Well, there's a lot of
that kind
of
tipping culture is huge.
That's what we should do when we get in a hot tub car.
Right, so it's like, what's the difference between just being a popular figure that attracts a lot of tips, and then you get to call that a business model that like other people are going to be able to replicate? I just don't know. Like, that's where I'm kind of skeptical. But anyway, I didn't mean to go on a tirade.
No, but that's, I mean, that's exactly what this discussion was about, is that it hasn't replaced, it doesn't seem to be a business model for a lot of people. And people are selling it to people as a business model, and it's not. And that's what the author of this post that they were talking about is going into, is like, people, I feel scammed by value for value. And he says it like, like all scams, it confuses a lot of people and burns everyone.
So what was the original post? You're talking about the one from
last week? I read the original post.
Scam. And maybe even scam is a little bit of a hyperbolic word.
Well, it's just clickbaity.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a hyperbolic word, but I think it's
I don't think it's clearly defined. So I don't think value for value is clearly defined. But that could be why it's considered a scam.
You have to decide how you want to define it. Any discussion that's going to take place about value for value, but the scam version of value for value is like the least generous interpretation, the least generous definition, which is really this. telling people that busking and tipping using Bitcoin now is different than busking and tipping that they see with fiat on the street. And on the internet, you're going to be able to support yourself by putting out podcasts for free. And that's what the author is like, no. He's like, I put my podcast out for free because I want people to get the information and I care about them. It has nothing to do. And so when I, so the fact that I accept Bitcoin and under this value, and people say it's value for value, makes it like kind of demeans my contribution, which I'm just trying to give to the people. And it also makes people feel obligated to give me money when most people aren't even giving money. So that person doesn't even, rather than feeling generous for giving money, that person is giving money because they feel obligated. And that's kind of, that's bad for them. So it's bad for the creator. It's bad for the giver. And that's kind of what the whole article was about.
Yeah. Just to get to back to Piaz's comment, I think what he's talking about, the value for value on Fountain that you give, that just goes right to the creators. The sponsors and all that pays for everybody who works on the podcast. So I just know from experience that you can't run a podcast at a level after a certain clip to keep getting the attention and guests that you want, unless you have sponsors. And sure, I guess it just kind of depends on the host whether they can be manipulated or not.
I think another reason why Adam Curry makes out pretty well here is he runs Podcast Index, and Podcast Index gets 1%.
Oh yeah, no one knows
1% of all.
So every podcast that gets created,
and the value for value frame.
Value for value frame goes to Adam Curry.
So yeah,
and Found takes like 3.
You're giving 1%.
Oh, does it?
To Adam Curry. So
yeah,
but he also pays for the developers that are making that work too. So there's always these give and takes with these things, and it's not ever clear cut. I would say if you have the means to tip, tip. If you don't have the means, then don't tip. But that's where the sponsors pay for it. But to say that, like Stagger News Live, I don't get paid to do this. I'm just looking at helping this guy over here.
I do pay him.
And then not only on top of that, like, it takes about at least two and a half, maybe 3, 4, 5 hours a week for me to do it. But I do it because of the stackers, and I still get shit for it. So why do I do it? Because I can hang out with my friend every week. That's why I do it. So yeah. I think
most value people for, don't. That's value for value.
That's not value for value.
Yeah.
That's my definition of value for value. Car works for free.
No, but I do it because I get to hang out, and I'm here anyway. But I think at the end of the day,
I pay you minimum wage.
I think at the end of the day, like when there is a sponsor, yeah, that'd be great to have a sponsor, but I'm not like banking on it.
Yeah, if anyone wants to sponsor us, if Froster wants to sponsor us through your grant,
but I'll tell you what though, these sats are coming in. So,
one last thing?
Yeah.
Can I say one last thing?
But also one more thing. P.S. Thank you for the Valley for Valley stuff.
Yeah,
I'm a big fan of you.
Thanks for your opinion.
I think I'm the only big fan of P.S.
What are you talking about? I think we're all.
Oh, you guys are okay. Cool. So you're all on board with it.
Hey, I mean, yeah, thanks for sharing your mind, Piaz. I respect it.
Dude, he works a construction job.
Dude, what a gangster. I mean, not literally. I know that's probably a stereotype.
I'm a blue-collar pleb myself, Piaz.
Something Keon said was like, what makes this difference than tipping in fiat? And here's something I would say. What would make this different is if we were doing it peer-to-peer, but the reality, and we have the technology to do that, but the reality is most people are not because they're using custodial lightning, right? So the one real differentiator we have, most people aren't leveraging, and then back to Fountain taking a percentage, Podcast Index taking a percentage, you don't have to do
that. Pull that up. Jamie doesn't take a percentage, baby boy.
Well, I mean, I would still argue that
Jamie doesn't take a percentage.
I would argue that even if it's peer-to-peer,
early days,
doesn't change the incentives. And so
I agree it doesn't change the incentives.
Yeah. And also tipping and busking on the street is actually peer-to-peer. You're using, cash, usually. You're not scanning a Venmo QR code all the time.
Yeah, that's true.
And it's also scarce. That's another argument for why I think tipping and busking is actually more successful than value for value, is because the real estate is scarce and the entertainment is scarce because there's only so many spots on on Congress Avenue.
I do think you need to charge for things, and I think where there's not enough people's charging, and so everybody's just kind of giving out this value for free, which is fine. You can do that, but doesn't mean you have to go along with it. You should charge for your the stuff that you make. And that's what I think. And if you want to tip, cool. If you don't want to tip, you know, but you should tip, because like if you get value out of something, especially if it's free, then
yeah, I think, I mean, I'm of course in support of giving also, people money who provide you also value.
Adam Curry, he's the worst example. Like this guy like had a whole tenure at MTV, was literally the original DJ. Like he went on to do a lot of amazing things.
He had beautiful hair.
Great hair. Yeah. Did some amazing things in his life. And so he's at his retirement age when he started doing.
Yeah, he goes on Rogan. He's friends with Rogan. Oh, no, I'm saying,
but he's at the retiring age when he started doing all the Valley for Valley stuff. So in that scenario, like that's the worst comparison. It's like once Keon decides to retire, he's like, oh yeah, I'm going to go ahead and, you know,
I'm going to start a podcast.
Start a podcast and be Rick Rubin.
You know, oh, stuff like hell that. Yeah. I'd
but it's
kind of
like
Rick
that.
Rubin.
It's like, oh, it's the worst example. But anyways, any other thoughts on that?
Nope.
Okay, cool.
That's it. That's my thoughts.
Cool. With that, what are you guys doing this weekend? Keon, what are you doing this weekend?
What am I doing? I still have a bunch of PRs to catch up on. So code review, newsletter. Yeah, I think that's pretty much it. Settle in. Trying to gain new habits or get rid of old habits as a result of my vacation.
You gain new habits? What do you mean?
Just like changing up my flow, because I was like so burned out. I would just, you know, I would grind all day, go home, eat dinner, veg out in front of the TV, go to sleep, wake up. And do it again. You know, veg out in front of the TV for an hour or two. Wow. And
so
just
now you're just
boom,
like resetting
boom, boom.
Everything?
I'm trying to figure out, yeah, what is my flow now? Maybe on Sundays I spend more time puttering, doing more reading. Maybe how do I restrict my, if I'm like burned out and I can only watch, then if I can't read when I get home, maybe that's a sign I'm burned out, things like that.
I think I've come to the realization, dude, that... And this is just me. I've been operating this way since October, November. But you're gonna upset people, and you just can't. You gotta allocate time for yourself, and you gotta just do what you're gonna do. And if you're not,
well,
you
it's know,
you know, like that's what I'm saying. If you have to carve out time for yourself, Keon.
No, but it is for me. I like the working is for me. The problem is you know like you can't do it. Like certain types of work aren't as rewarding as they need to be to like refuel you. And that was exactly what all of the wallet work was. It was like this high effort, low yield, practically negative yield work. It's like the most and we did it for, we were grinding on it for probably 8 months. Yeah, nearly a year. And so it just grinds you to dust. And that's kind of what ended up happening. But I loved working, and I love work. Even if it hurts, I like work when it hurts. I like massages that hurt, as you know, Carr. Anyway, but.
So you're saying that you're not really changing anything?
No, I'm trying to measure better when I need to maybe take a 4-day weekend. And trying to maybe...
that's what I'm saying. Just take time for yourself.
Yeah. Do the real Sabbath thing and, like, not really grind on Sundays.
Dude, I don't do anything on Sunday.
Yeah. That's what I'm going to do. How about you, Austin? What are you doing this weekend?
Yeah, I'm working on the Pleb Devs roadmap, actually. I'm trying to, like, really nail down what... basically 4 to 6 big things I want to get done this year for Pleb Devs. Very major features on the platform, and then very major pieces of content. And that's kind of in prep for startup day. So yeah, I'm going to do a lot of like kind of open creative thinking on that this weekend.
I forgot to mention that. I don't even mention this up to the stackers.
Yeah, is that what, 2 weeks?
2 weeks from now. So 2 weeks from now, we're doing startup day. Yeah, it's going to be fun. I feel like it gets me back into work mode right now when I think about this. Like I step away and I live in Stacker News life for a little while, and then now it's come back to work. So yeah, Joe's going to be doing the keynote this year.
Awesome.
We have some amazing guests. We also have some amazing panels. So announcements from Pleb Devs, Cascader, Open Agents.
Wow.
And I haven't checked with Web Pleb Poet, but it's going to be you, Christopher Scott, and Ben Carmen on a panel.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
And we'll have an AI, MR, Bitcoin panel. And I want to do an exchanges panel. So we're going to have that with Francisco and Adam from Bitcoin Well. So that's going to be cool. And
okay.
We'll have a builders panel with Austin and Steven and Santos. But it's going to be good. It's going to be a full day. And then at the end, we're going to have a top builder final round. And so they'll be coming in on Monday, not this Monday, next Monday. And then we're going to have Bitcoin Well is going to be doing the happy hour. So we'll have drinks flowing. That whole week's going to be amazing.
Who's doing the happy hour?
Bitcoin Well.
Oh.
Adam. Have you not met Adam before? Let's get right here.
Oh. Yeah. I had no idea. Yeah, I don't think I met him.
He's a great guy. I met him this year. And then, yeah, then we're going to have that. And it's going to be a Shiners after party. Still waiting on the sponsor for that. But it's good. Things are happening. If you're going to be in Austin, come to South by Southwest during that time.
Kia, imagine sponsoring we're going to do the Shiners after party. That's the easiest. It's got to be the easiest sell because that's the.
I think
everyone's going to be there.
I think I was going to say we should probably do a live Stacker News.
Ooh.
On Friday.
Yeah, if you would like.
So the Stackers want to come to Pleb Lab, come to Pleb Lab and watch it live.
We can gate it with a startup day.
No, ticket. We wouldn't do that. That's
damn it. All right. I guess we'll have
gate it with a cowboy hat.
Yeah, you have to wear a cowboy hat. Yeah. That's how you get it. We have a cowboy hat party.
Cool. All right, Stackers. Have a great weekend.